B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, let's do a show. Snow day,
hey,
everybody.
It's good seeing you guys.
Oh, great seeing you.
You guys are good planners. Looking ahead, you know it's going to snow. You get out there early, get those roads cleared.
Well, I got to say,
your driveway's cleared.
You know, you use the weather forecast to the best of your ability. You know, you use it to arm yourself with information before the storm hits to sort of plan for the day. The information was bad.
Exactly. And I think that's where we're starting. 0-for-2 weather, people.
Information bad.
0-for-2. Grossly overplayed Saturday's mess. That was supposed to be snowmageddon.
Let's just say this before we say anything bad about them. They are the most sensitive group in town. And their bosses start calling people when you criticize the weather people. It's sad.
Hold on
it's
a second.
So well,
I think there's a delicious irony there that Belichick always gets on the weather people. And says, like, I don't know how you're going to have a job where you're right 50% of the time. Still, well, it's not as difficult as being a football coach. You know, there's not as much science involved there.
He does win 12 games
every
year.
But
he wins 12 games
the only people more sensitive, maybe, the people working with the Patriots. Yeah. They're sensitive, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's deliciously ironic that Belichick always criticizes the weather people.
Well, two sensitive
I'd like the weather
groups
people.
Going at each other.
Yeah, yes. I'd like the weather
two
people to go 12-4 one year. Just go 12-4.
That's all. We want to go 12-4.
Just win 12 games.
Everybody knows it's not an easy job. That's a very difficult job, right? It's not easy. That's not an easy gig.
And I've come to learn this from speaking
with people. Everybody calls you on the carpet for it, which is just part of the gig, guys. You got to realize this is part of the gig here. When you get it wrong, we will call you out for it.
Right. That's all. We call. Hey, that's what we do.
They said it was going to be a lot of snow last night. The last forecast that I saw said we were like in the 10 to 12 inch range.
No. No, honey. They it was like 40 to Jim. What was it at your house? 40 degrees when you went to bed?
It was like 40 degrees at 7 o'clock, and on the news down in Providence, the way he was talking, you could tell they didn't know what was going to happen because he's like, "Well, the guidance is telling us the temperatures are going to drop enough to get snow, but it was 40 degrees and raining out at my house."
Well, yeah, they said it wasn't sticking because the ground was still warm.
Oh, did it stick at your house?
And then they said it's going to. This is the last forecast I saw before I went to bed. It's going to start sticking. There's going to be a lot of snow in the morning. Now, I didn't expect 17 inches like we got in Canton, but it was still. I was expecting close to a foot. So does that change things? No. Yeah, I knew I was going to have to snowblow and shovel and plow and everything to get out this morning. So
from the people that I spoke to over the weekend, I just think it's above the weather people, and I'm not going to blame them. It's usually the bosses that are telling them to amp it up because it's ratings getter. And let's make this bigger than what it is. Let's put as many people. Let's find a snowbank. You go stand in it. Let's bend the ruler.
Why do you get so upset when...
Because when Steve Cooper's taking golf swings outside...
I don't know what it is with Steve Cooper.
...effing toolbox.
But Zoe's got something deeply ingrained in him.
Well, he tried to get Fred fired, first of all.
Steve Cooper is the villain and the enemy.
Yeah, he tried to get Fred fired, first of all.
So they told you...
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Remember the Hernandez stuff? The mic? Yeah.
That was him?
That was him.
Oh, then you're right.
That was Steve Cooper standing outside the old building.
You know what? I'm with you.
He had a sleeve
roll. I'm with you.
He had a sleeve roll. I'm going to race this.
I hope the snowplow buries you today on the side of the road.
Racist. Yeah. So
they told you in Rentham you were going to get what, like 6 inches on Saturday night?
Saturday was supposed to be 6 to 10. We were the jackpot zone.
And what did you end up getting, 2?
We got 2.5.
Okay, and why does that upset you so much? So what? You didn't get as much snow.
You missed it by 9 inches.
I'm never upset when it's less. I'm never upset when it's less.
Yeah, how does
I'm
that?
I'm only upset when it's more.
How does that negatively?
I had like 3 basketball games and softball practice. Everything was canceled on Saturday. Now... We had a game yesterday, and now we have to go Wednesday night for a game that shouldn't have been scheduled because
another snowstorm.
Saturday, when it was 2 inches of snow, we couldn't go to get a basketball game.
I got the maps up from 24 hours ago from every station in town, and I can tell you 3 to 5, 4 to 7, 3 to 6.
Yeah, underplayed
3 to 6
because they
got
blew
like 16
so badly.
So you only missed by 2.5 times.
Yeah, what's a big deal? No, it's still snow.
Give me a break.
when you screw up the day before so badly, you sort of become cautious the next day.
Look at this. 3 to 5 along the entire coast. Yeah, that didn't happen. It can look like 3 to 5 out there. No, it looks like a little more than 3 to 5.
Can't park
looks like
spot.
15. That's all. That's it. We had to get it off our chest.
There we go.
Info was bad.
Yeah, we only talked about the weather once.
Go 12-4.
Hey, but we made it.
When you go 12-4, Belichick will get off your ass about all this, okay?
Yeah. Mm. Be the number one seed once.
March in New England is a killer. It is an absolute killer. It will crush your soul. You think you're getting out of it? And then, bam, there it is, right in your face today. So,
now I got Hook trolling me.
Get out of here, Hook.
I took a picture of Hook on a wet road.
Where are your loyalties, Hook?
I'm in Andover driving on a wet road. As you can see, it's wet through the asphalt. And he goes, well, I'm sure your next 4 hours of Kyrie talk will be compelling.
Tell you what, we'll give you some of that Kyrie talk coming up next then, Hook, if that's what you're looking for. The Celtics lost again yesterday. Shocker. Shocker that the Celtics continue to lose games on their own court at home. Every good team just seems to beat them.
Bad time to pick appointment viewing to show up the way they did.
3:30 on a Sunday.
Eesh.
Didn't show.
I even watched.
We got to the Celtics. We got a lot to get to today. We got draft items from over the weekend.
Oh boy.
Some Patriots items.
What a weekend.
Zoe was watching the draft. He was hunkering down in Rentham, watching draft coverage all weekend long.
Bought all my milk.
You got your milk, your bread, your eggs.
I'm sitting there drinking 8 gallons of milk over the weekend.
And Shaughnessy is here today. Shaughnessy already in the building. He's going to join us coming up at 11 a.m.
How did he make it out? He lives in the same town Fred does.
And Shaughnessy,
how is it possible?
Shaughnessy was in the parking lot at 9:50 this
morning.
Maybe
he could drive Fred in one day.
It's an hour and 10 minutes before he goes on the air. So his driveway didn't have the ice, the 5 feet of ice.
There was one very important overlooked factor in Fred not being able to get his ride share this morning. His low Uber rating. I think.
You didn't even think of that.
Someone said it on Twitter. I'm like, 4.63. Yeah, I don't know.
Not good.
I'm picking up a guy at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for. Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in, and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beto. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics will. Marcus Smart will just dribble out the clock, and this one will come to an end. There have been many disappointing days and nights throughout the season. This is the latest. Another furious fourth quarter comeback for the Celtics, and again, good signs in it. But the hole they dug was too deep, and the Celtics have really struggled throughout the year to come up with that signature win against a marquee team. That's the bad news. The good news is you can't score a bigger win, and the Celtics have an opportunity to steal on Tuesday night as they begin the West Coast trip at Oracle Arena against the reigning and defending world champs. Final score, Houston 115, Boston 104.
So how much of the Celtics game did you take yesterday?
All of it.
Whew.
Yeah. My kid wanted to see Harden play.
Excuse me? Man, he's great to watch.
He goes, Dad, the kid with the beard. This guy with the beard. He plays basketball. I'm like, yeah. I go, how the hell do you know who James Harden is?
Because every kid doesn't knows. Because he's a superstar.
These freaking kids, you know what they do?
They
sit
all know
there on
who they
YouTube
are.
And they watch all these YouTube games. It's like a whole nother world I don't know about. Jim's kid doesn't, but he's
stuck NBA?
In the 80s. No. Yeah. I said, well, duh. Newsflash. As you know, I am not an NBA or basketball aficionado.
Yeah, but kids
are. I played the sport. I like the sport.
Kids are.
But I think.
They play NBA 2K. They play video games.
Yes.
They play, you know,
watch
they know all the players.
The divas
just like we
in
know
that
every
sport.
Baseball player growing up because of the different baseball games.
I would agree. Basketball is that now for kids. They all know who the stars are.
I'll tell you this from watching.
They know who the marginal players are, too, just from playing the games.
I know.
And I haven't said it because I said, you know, the guy had a grotesque injury a year ago, and maybe he'll be back to being the same guy or just being 90% of what he is.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward is an effing problem for your basketball team right now. You don't even know when he's on the court. And that's about as long a game I watched yesterday because I went front to back, and I'm thinking, let's see if they die. Let's see if they quit. And I'm sitting there because I planned for my show. I came in on time. So I'm out there shoveling, and I had Sports Hub on my app, and I heard Wallach, and you heard Grandy there. And it's getting to the point where you're looking for points and quarters where there's a feverish comeback. Like, that's your big news tease. The comeback. You lost. You got your ass kicked. But thank God you went on a 10-2 run, or it would have been a hell of a lot worse. You're hanging your freaking hat and looking for silver linings on a comeback in an 8-minute stretch in a
at
quarter.
Home.
You're picking and choosing where it isn't. But they have a chance Tuesday to really make it up against the defending world champs. Oh, yeah, I feel great about that one. Gordon Hayward's a problem, and I don't know what to do about it.
I will say this. He was on the floor in the fourth quarter when the team seemed to sort of come alive at times.
Yeah.
And why does that always seem to happen when Kyrie's not on the floor?
Well, I think that's why that happened.
I thought yesterday was one of the more like noticeable differences of when Kyrie was off the floor, Jaylen Brown played better.
Well, gee, because they get
Jason
the ball.
Jason Tatum played better.
Well, they get the ball, and they think we got to hurry up and do something. That's why. It kicks you into panic mode.
I don't know what it is, but
it does.
There's a mental
Take the best
thing.
Player off the court, kicks your
there's
team
a,
into
There's
panic
a mental
mode.
Thing on this team that when he's not on the floor and his presence is not out there, that other guys played better than what they were doing.
No, they all defer to him when he's on the court. That's what it is yesterday.
I don't think it's that.
Penetrating, turning the ball over, losing it, bad passes. He was part of the problem early yesterday. Kyrie wasn't great. He'd come away from that game thinking, oh, my God, he's your best player. He's your best player on the court.
And we'll get to more on Kyrie.
That's it, period.
Because I think a lot of people automatically put this blame on Kyrie, and I'm not sure that's fair.
Nope, not fair at all.
I think there is a disproportionate amount of blame on Kyrie for this team's problems. Disproportionate amount. And I thought after the game yesterday, that was made pretty clear because Kyrie spoke after the game and didn't have much to say. He was very brief, didn't really give much in the way of answers. We'll have a listen right now so that everyone knows what we are referring to that happened after the game yesterday. Jim, let's play it so people can hear it.
How tough was that one for you guys tonight?
It's tough.
What happened in the first half?
Just didn't play well.
Kyrie, in your career, have you ever gone through anything like this?
What are you going to do to turn it around? Just play better.
Kyrie, which was the bigger challenge for you guys or issue tonight, the struggles you guys had as a team shooting three ball or just defensively trying to limit their three-point shooting?
A little bit of both.
When you think about some of the issues that you guys had tonight as far as defending your three-point line, what are some of the things that kind of jump up that you guys could just tweak and get a little bit better at?
Just our rotation stuff. Being better on rotations.
Kyrie, you said you want to be the leader of this team. What do you have to do to kind of turn this thing around as a leader?
You just got to play better.
Can you take anything out of that fourth quarter comeback?
Matter is all in the wind. So, you know, I just got to play better.
Kyrie, do you think you guys can come together on this road trip?
We'll see.
That's it. That's what he gave you yesterday. And so there's this big deal yesterday about this. About his post game.
I'd have a bigger deal with the pregame.
Well, we'll get to that too. But so Kyrie didn't really want to give you much after the game. Well, what did Gordon Hayward say? Can you go criticize him for once? Can you go after him? Can you go after anybody else?
Well, you have to remember him.
Coming with the territory of being the team's best player and being the superstar is you get the microscope. Yeah. You always do.
It's like the quarterback. It's like the left tackle or the receiver. You're out there and everybody sees you. The DB that falls down, everybody sees you. Okay? You want to be the last guy to strike out? No. You want to be a guy that's been hitless in your last 12 games? No.
My thing is,
you know what you have to do to ask Gordon Hayward a question? You have to ask, actually, remember that he did something on the court to address him about it. Like, Gordon, what happened on that one drive in the second quarter where you went to the paint, you really didn't have it, and you kicked it out where you probably should have went to the rim a little more because of your size? Oh, that one. Oh, you have to remember that. You have to remember moments to ask people moments. Whether good or bad, Kyrie, it's at least memorable. I'm horrified how bad Gordon Hayward is.
What did Kyrie Irving say after the game yesterday that was bad? That was problem.
Expect exactly that.
I just say who gives a bleep at this point. All right, so we didn't want to talk.
Got our ass kicked again. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, the team got their ass kicked
play
yesterday. I'm more concerned with that now at this point than him not wanting to talk.
Yeah, what about your leadership?
Sometimes it's interesting. Last week was interesting. He gives two thoughtful, lengthy answers and then goes and shuts it down for the local. I mean, there's an angle there that you say, what's going on there? What's happening there? You had an issue with him pregame.
Yeah.
Of him walking into the building.
Yep.
And so this was on Snapchat, I believe. The Celtics. Was it the Celtics one? Someone posted it there, and then someone
Barstool had it first.
No, they didn't have it.
No, I think it was on either on the telecast or it was on ESPN. It was something, right?
It's got to be their pregame.
No, it's got to be someone who put it up.
It's got to be the ABC.
It's either a media account.
I was thinking ESPN, ABC, because they had the game. They always film the guys.
Everybody can bring their cameras in there. There's no
really.
Yeah, everyone
they have that access.
Yes, everyone can bring their cameras in there.
Jesus,
that row. There's always cameras set up. There's a bunch of cameras.
No, actually, that makes sense. It would be somebody other than ABC because ABC is the guy that's following him. In the shot.
Yes, the ABC camera is the guy who's got the thing right in his face with the light. That's ABC. I'm wondering, it looks like it was reposted on Twitter. Someone, doesn't matter. Someone recorded it with their phone in that hallway and put it on. It looked like Snapchat, and then it got pulled and put onto Twitter by someone. But here it is. You can hear he will say, I'm not going to miss this bleep when I'm done playing, is what he says. Don't care for this.
What, the attention? You wearing a crazy loud outfit? Says everybody look at me to begin with? That you're the premier player on a team where you wanted to go to because you wanted out of Cleveland after you won?
That and your whole sport? Were shooting a commercial or something.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell was going on with that
happens
video.
Every game.
I mean, what's
game
different?
That happens.
Light block
this
in
is
front
the NBA.
Of him,
You're in a matinee game.
You don't
game
get the
on
guy,
ABC.
You don't get the guy holding the light every game.
Right.
That's an ABC thing.
Right.
But every game, those cameras set up there.
That's so hard on you.
That was an ABC network game.
Thing. Yeah.
So tough walking into arena in a big NBA game with you and you versus Harden.
You do get guys holding a camera walking with them a lot of times, though. A lot of nights.
Yeah, it was very slow. It almost looked like it was rehearsed or something. But no,
you ain't going to miss any of that.
All of a sudden, Kyrie doesn't like being on national television.
Yeah, you're not going to miss that. But you're going to go to All-Star Weekend, do all that stuff, speak down there. Your people are going to be down there.
I'm with you on that.
Promos.
That to
you
me is entirely
pick
fraudulent.
Pick and choose where you want to bitch.
I don't like national TV cameras. I like movie cameras.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
I'm going to pick and choose when I can be out there in the front center.
But I don't think he's this major issue yesterday. The whole team sucked yesterday. But why is it that they're playing better when he's not on the floor? And
because they pick up the pace when he's not in there. That's why. Not everything doesn't go through him then.
Based on the way they're playing in the fourth quarter, should Brad Stevens have left him on the bench? Should he have left Kyrie on the bench in the fourth quarter? I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub. First of all, you have to play well to have a chance to come back like that, and we did. But it's easier to beat the team playing from behind than ahead. But I do think that we saw some good things in that 12-minute stint or so between the middle of the third and early fourth, or start or first 5-7 minutes of the fourth. We had some chances at the end, and obviously our margin for error had decreased significantly by then.
Brad Stevens also had comments after the game yesterday indicating that if there were a lineup tweak that would solve this team's problems, he would have done that already. Can you do it anyway? Can you do it even if you don't believe it's going to solve the team's problems?
Yeah.
Can you do it to be a jerk? Needle someone? Just to push someone? Just to see what happens?
Who are you talking about?
What do you get to lose?
Who are you talking about sitting?
In the starting lineup?
Yeah.
It might be time to sit Marcus Morris for a little bit.
Okay.
Might be time to put Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup and sit his ass down.
Jaylen Brown this month has sort of earned those minutes,
playing time. Let's see what happens.
Randy talked about
just
it
do
last
it.
Week.
What do you have to lose right
Baines
now?
Baines is back now. You could start shaking orders up a little
Your
bit.
Team looks like a dead-ass team now.
Yep.
So do something. Even if you think, I don't think it's going to make a difference. Well, you know what? Play the game anyway and see what happens. End of the game yesterday. Kyrie Irving. The team was playing better without him for whatever reason, and I don't put that on Kyrie. I'd consider leaving Kyrie on the bench a little bit longer in that fourth quarter. See what happens. What's the worst thing? You're going to lose by 15? 20? What? Who cares? Give it a whirl, man.
Yeah.
You've got nothing to lose at this point, and now they're going to go west, and I'm afraid they're going to get their ass kicked on this trip.
Oof.
Starting Tuesday night against Golden State. What do you have to lose at this point? Really?
Is it 10:30 start?
What really is? What's the worst thing that could happen? You lose the team? Oh, what? That hasn't happened already? Well, no, what's the worst thing that could happen?
You haven't lost a team. It's like
really? Because they're not responding to anything.
Wake up!
Oh, we're going to listen to Ogilvy now. Ogilvy's the guy getting people to wake up now?
Yeah.
Line of the day was
Line
of the day was said before this show by Jim Lout. He said, Ogilvy, that guy doesn't even have the amount of credibility that like Johnny Gomes had for the Red Sox. He's not even on a Johnny Gomes level. I don't know. You got to do something, though. You can't just sit there and watch this play out and continue to watch this team lose the way they're losing and looking dead while they're doing it.
They look like a dead
Just change
team.
Something up. Even if you don't believe it's going to change your fortunes or change the way the game is played, guess what? The worst thing that can happen is you just keep losing the games the way you already are.
You know what pissed me off the most yesterday was the amount of layups that James Harden had. Uncontested. Just right to the rim. And nobody challenged him. Even Al Horford came down to paint one time. And you're thinking, okay, at least you're tall enough to go up and go get it. He didn't even try it. I don't care if it's goaltending. Knock the guy into the first row. Knock him in the wick seat. Somebody do something.
You asked if Stevens should have put Kyrie back in.
Yeah.
So Stevens, in that little clip we just played coming back, said about 6 to 7 minutes of the fourth quarter we played well. Kyrie checked in 6.5 minutes into the fourth quarter.
There you go.
Now, he was on the floor for end of the third when they started coming back in that period in the third period. But
the fourth quarter, it was noticeable. From the start of the fourth quarter when he was not out there, that's when it felt like they may give themselves a chance. I really didn't think they were going to win, but I thought, oh, they might make this interesting. And by the way, you talk about James Harden. I'm not going to get as upset when James Harden is beating the bag out of you because he's like an MVP of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, James Harden is a bad man. Oh, is he good? He's fun to watch. That's why your son is sitting there watching it.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Okay, because that's why. That guy is fun to watch. So good. That step back three is deadly. No, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about, like, Eric Gordon. Can somebody contest an Eric Gordon shot in that game
threes yesterday?
What the hell, guys? Is anyone going to contest one of these Eric Gordon threes? Anybody? Anyone? Is anyone home?
You know what bugged
Hello?
Me? You know what bugged me? One time, Kyrie was standing up. Somebody else was standing up on the bench, and he rotated and got to the corner, and he was wide-ass open. Someone kicked him the ball. Don't you usually get some chirping from the bench or something?
Oh, they're dead. And lifeless. Like, they're lifeless
his ear.
Right
do,
now.
Do something to make the guy flinch. Nothing.
Jason's in Nashua. Go ahead, Jason.
Every single day, all we do is talk about Kyrie, 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 Kyrie. There is more problems than just Kyrie. I mean, I want.
Oh, we agree. We don't think he's the best. The most of your problems.
I agree.
Well,
so
no,
keep going.
Look, it's not Kyrie's fault that the team on the bench, right? I can give you last night. Yeah, Kyrie was off the floor. They started playing better. I can give you a couple games where Kyrie comes off the floor and they suck in the second quarter. Like, you know, the Clippers game, 28-28, and then they lose the game once Kyrie leaves. I can give you those games, too. But the problem is, put Brad Wanamaker in. Rozier is in there. I'm sorry. They lose leads. They suck right now on the
bench.
He has
regressed. What the hell has happened to that kid? Is that all for the contract, that he's got that in his head? He has regressed in a major way this year. He gets on the floor, and I cringe, like, oh, boy, here comes Rozier.
Well, maybe last year was just one of those magical runs that's an anomaly.
Maybe he just had a year in which he played above what he actually is.
No pressure.
Maybe that happened.
No pressure. There's no rotation. You know you're the guy. You got nothing to lose. That whole team was playing with house money. Nobody gave him a chance. It's the perfect setup for you to go out there and succeed.
Put some expectations on him, and he crumbles?
Put some expectations, contract years, guess who's back, his knee's fine.
Like Game 7 of a Eastern Conference Finals type of situation where there's, you know, pressure?
I think Game 7, you get there, like, holy crap, we're here.
Yeah. Derek in New Hampshire. Hi, Derek.
Oh, I love the guy they called before me, man. More people need to call in like him. You guys in the Felger and Mattis show have been harping on Kyrie because it gives you ratings for weeks now. Kyrie is far from the issue. Where are you guys harping on Jaylen Brown, Marcus
Kyrie Morris? Guy here. Who's doing this?
You guys are. Every time I turn on the station, it's this off-the-court stuff with Kyrie. Kyrie's been the only player who's been good since the start of this season, and you guys have been making it sound like he's been a bad teammate since the start.
We are the show that says trade everybody to get Anthony Davis here to make sure Kyrie stays.
Derek, he might be a bad teammate. He might. We don't know.
No, he's not. what? You have no proof. This is my point. You have no proof.
That's why I said
it.
I might. He might be a great teammate. I don't know. I said he might.
What's the point? You only talk about it for ratings. Talk about Marcus Morris and how he can't shoot.
Listen,
I love those meetings. Appreciate it.
If I talk
Kyrie for ratings.
If I talk more Kyrie, am I going to get better ratings?
Yes.
I got to keep talking Kyrie then.
Oh,
I will keep talking Kyrie if that's the case.
Oh, my God.
I love ratings. I love ratings more than anything.
We sure do.
It's my favorite thing.
We thank you.
I love ratings.
If the Celtics could win the NBA championship or you could have better ratings, which would you wish for?
That's not a good question because if the Celtics won the championship, we'd have better ratings.
See, if you have good questions, okay, you have to call another show.
They're going
to
do a question segment. That doesn't make sense.
If you want questions, you have to call somebody else.
That's why I'm always rooting for the teams. The better the teams, the better the ratings. Always. We know this.
Okay, forget about the championship. If the Celtics just have a smooth ride for the next five games, would you rather have that or would you rather have, over the next week, would you rather have the Celtics go 4-0 on this Western road trip or have your best week ever in ratings?
Oh, best week ever in ratings?
Best week ever in ratings.
You can recover from those four losses out west.
You're so selfish.
I'm like Kyrie.
How dare you?
I'm like Kyrie. I read the book of Kyrie, which is, I can't wait for this BS regular season to be over.
Thank you. Yes.
Let's get to the playoffs.
God,
I mean, they look so ready for it, don't they? They look so ready for the playoffs. That's one thing from Kyrie that I call BS on. Well, let's just get the season over with. I don't think you want to get that season over with right now. I don't think you look well prepared for those playoffs at the moment. And the last two callers are both absolutely right. And that was one of my opening thoughts today. It's time to start looking elsewhere. Kyrie is not the issue. And even when they're playing better without him on the floor for that first half of the fourth quarter, I don't put that on Kyrie. That's on everybody else. That's on everybody else on the team. And that includes Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Yes, it does. Everybody else.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody who has made free soloing a big part of their life is dead now.
I haven't been injured in like 7 years. I suddenly start getting injured all the time.
What if something happens? What if I don't see him again?
I could just walk away, but it's like, I don't want to.
I've always been conflicted about shooting a film about free soloing just because it's so dangerous. It's hard to not imagine your friend falling through the frame to his death.
Shut up.
Listen, baby. Smooth as a weather forecast over the weekend.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I got it. Oh, this is like for Remember the Titans, bro. Yeah, you got a rhythm. No matter how far, don't worry, baby. Kerry Bertier, you got something to say? I'll be there
in a hurry. I couldn't go to bed after watching this last night. Oh, baby, I shouldn't be on Twitter that late at night because I saw Hardy. Free solos on. I saw it in the movie theater by myself. I'm going to not only record it tonight, but watch it again. Oh, my God. Talk about an American hero. I saw you tweet this, Hardy, one of the greatest athletic achievements. It is, really is one of the greatest athletic achievements to ever witness.
You know, we love to say called it, right?
Because
called
you
it.
Fight fear as an athlete and you challenge. You know what I mean? Yeah, you called
it. Do you guys remember that? Well, it was June, almost 2 years ago.
We talked about it the day it happened or
the day
week
after
it happened.
When it first came out, they said, okay, something has happened here that not a lot of people know about or will fully even care or comprehend, and I didn't at the time, but this guy, Alex Honnold, who I had seen before, I remember watching that 60 Minutes piece, free soloed El Capitana, and I started reading about it, and I couldn't believe it.
Sean McElroy?
And when the documentary came out, I went and saw it by myself in the theater just because I couldn't believe they captured it and if they did it justice. Oh my. Did they do it justice?
Yeah.
I think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did that justice.
Oscar winner for best documentary,
yeah.
Obviously.
I'm going to tell you.
Of course it is.
I know that you and Fred had debated about whether or not he was a bit odd.
Oh, he's strange.
He's a bit odd.
He's a strange cat.
You need some sort of a detachment from life where you don't fear death. Like, okay, today could be the day I wake up out of my van, which I live in, which is no big deal. If I fall, I fall. If I wash my T-shirt today, I wash it.
He's not weird because of living in the van. That's not why.
No, he's just...
That ain't the weird part.
Doesn't help.
There's a weirdness that drives him. Like, yeah.
But the living in the van was so that he could climb every single day and not be far from where he was climbing every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In preparation.
Right. It's kind of a cool van. Makes me want that van.
Nice little van, right?
Nice little van, little hot plate on there. It's a little Dodge. Place. Put the kids up here. Take a
so
nap.
I didn't think that the it is a it's
Pro Master.
It's a work Ram. Promaster yeah. Ram. Yeah,
it's a
nice.
Work van.
Yeah. 2500. Nice.
Nice.
So yeah, that wasn't like weird. There were some weird things where no, it's not the van. It's when you all of a sudden are eating with the spatula and not a fork.
Yeah, well,
weird things. But then you find out he suffered some sort of trauma.
Yeah.
As a child, lack of affection from the parents.
No one ever hugged. No one ever said, I love you.
He said he was 23 years old before he had hugged someone in his life.
So he doesn't
figure out how to do it.
And so.
So his dad didn't kiss him on the lips the way Brady kisses his kids on the lips.
There was no, there was no affection shown like that. And you can tell it damaged him to the point where the fear is, I mean, there's, and he even said at one point, like, the self-loathing is unbelievable.
Yeah. And there's like, there's a detachment where I like to climb mountains.
He has some awareness of his issues.
Yeah.
That's what I found really interesting.
But later on in the movie, when he was talking to his girlfriend, he says, I love you on the phone. And you know, they're building a bit of a life together.
Did it sound natural? It sounds like he's learning how to do that.
Okay, great. Good for him.
Yeah. So strange to the point that when you buy your first house,
climbing, you know that there was a resentment of the girlfriend from the other climbers.
Yeah.
And the people involved. Yeah. And they pretty much sort of indicated it.
And a resentment of the film crew by one of the other climbers there. He's like, dude, I never let anybody film me.
Yes.
I thought
they were going to get in a massive fight when they were doing the pumpkin cutting. And she was inviting all the little kids in and her friends to come in. And she's like, come on, we're going to cut pumpkins. And he's like, I hate holidays because they force you to tell you when you want to have fun. I want to have fun when I want to have fun.
I'm kind of with him on that.
Then I looked at her and then he goes, just kidding. Because I thought like that was going to be an
fun igniter. Forcers. Fun, yeah. I don't like
so
forced fun.
He climbs El Capitan, which is 3,200 feet.
Of flat granite.
There was one run where he quit, where the camera guys were within his sight lines. Did you notice that when he did it, the cameras, they made it a point that he could see no cameras? I thought that was one of the more interesting parts. The camera positioning was different on the second go.
He freaked him out, I think, on the first one.
There were other camera guys hanging from ropes on the side of the granite.
Well, and then one guy said, there's going to be a problem.
Second time around, they weren't there. They had placed stationary cameras up and down the face of the wall, and they had, obviously, the telescope cameras from the ground.
And you know what it was, though?
And they had the drone.
It was the placement where they had them because he knew he reached
certain. They changed something there. They should have talked more about it, but they did.
He got excited when he got to those points because I think those were milestones because he got past Boulder, the Boulder problem. Gee, watch, I'm going to put my thumb this way and then turn the other thumb to create this pressure point. Put these fingers here. Should I jump with two hands with no rope attached? To grab onto a flat granite surface?
Don't do that.
Do the karate kick.
And for anybody who still doesn't know, he climbed the 3,000-foot granite wall of El Capitan in Yosemite without any gear. No ropes. Shoes.
What if your ear gets
and
it?
A chalk bag. That's it. And,
no ropes.
And let me tell you something.
One misstep, you die.
The karate kick, or he has to get over that one point, that's nerve-wracking. But the exposed portion toward the top, where he's completely, you could convince yourself at other parts on that wall, if he fell, there may be a way.
Where he hits a ledge.
To either a ledge or stop your descent by grabbing onto something. And the one camera guy on the ground, he's like, it's completely exposed where he is right now. And he's coming out a little bit, so he's actually beyond perpendicular.
You know that he lives. You know, even if you watch it, you know that he lives. He makes it to the top.
He's going to have carpal tunnel when he's done. His fingers are going to hurt so bad.
It is nerve-wracking to watch because you are afraid, even though you know he doesn't die, that you are afraid he's going to fall.
And that's the only reason why.
That's the craziest thing I've ever felt, because I know he's not going to fall, and I still didn't want to watch.
And I got mad.
I wanted to look away.
And aside from all the personality issues with him and the story of the climb and all that stuff, the reason why I brought it up in the first place almost 2 years ago, the reason why I'm still fascinated with it, is to go back to what I think was the New York Times said initially after he did it. It deserves to be considered among the greatest athletic achievements of all time.
Tell me something that is greater than that.
I can't think of one. I really can't.
Not even Everest, where you have teams and you have tents and you're able to stop.
Maybe ultra marathoners, guys who run 50 miles a day through the desert for a year straight.
No, you don't fear dying like that where you can fall.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
It's like at any moment, could you die? I guess in everyday life, but not like this.
No.
Not like this.
No.
Other people take days to climb this thing. He climbs past somebody
who's in a tent. 3 hours and 56 minutes.
He climbs past somebody who's in a tent. The first time it took somebody 16 months to figure out how to get to the top.
As you know, I need rapid fire to keep me rolling. I need activity. I need stuff to keep me interested. I could get disinterested in something and move. I couldn't turn it off. I didn't move from my couch for the 2 hours. And I actually got up because I got, like I said, and I texted Hardy. I said, thank God for the TV technology of what we have nowadays, where you could have a massive TV that I could put my chair in front of and just sit there with my mouth open and watch him scale this rock mountain.
And just one brief observation. At the Oscars, when they accepted the Academy Award for the best documentary, the woman who spoke, never see her in the movie. The woman who went in there and spoke for like 2-3 minutes straight until they cut her off, and nobody else got a chance to say a word. Who is that?
Yeah, and where's the Japanese photographer?
Where was Jimmy?
He was on stage.
Why didn't Jimmy say something?
He was directing everybody. Right. He was on ropes.
It seemed like Jimmy's movie.
Yes.
Why didn't Jimmy talk at the Oscars? I understand why Alex didn't talk. It's not his movie. Without him, the movie doesn't exist.
Right. It's not a movie. But it's not. He didn't make the
there's
movie.
Two people,
made a movie.
There's two people I want to hear from on the Oscars stage. Jimmy and Alex.
Yeah.
Those two people I want to hear from.
Nobody
didn't
else.
Hear from either one.
Or Sonny. Like, he got a cute girlfriend. Like, for a weirdo, that was another
part talk too long.
You know what, too, though?
Yes.
Best part of the movie for me.
Rambling. Thanking a million people.
Yeah.
Best part of the movie for me. When they bought the house in Vegas and he's making coffee.
The fridge thing.
Well, we'll get to the fridge. Even better than the fridge.
What the hell?
Buy the ugliest white cheap fridge you could find to fit
the
smallest possible. She measured the whole area. Like, they're looking at, like, the perfect fridge. Like, nope, too deep. Too deep. I want one, like,
in
the van.
This is perfectly adequate.
He makes coffee. But he's such a freak from living in a van.
He didn't know how to make coffee.
He knew how to make the coffee. Where's the filter? But he didn't have a coffee cup. He drinks it out of the pot in his house. So here he is, finally grew up as a man, bought a house.
And he picks up a pan. He picks up a saucepan
it's like
off the stove. Yeah. And he's trying to drink coffee out of a saucepan.
Barbaric.
Which is the same way that he was trying to eat food with a spatula.
Yes. Yes.
That's
what makes him great.
Weird things that were going on.
Little quirky things, man.
Quirky guy. Amazing
good movie.
There's
really
nothing
movie.
I could think of that would be better than that.
But it will inspire you. It will make you think you are the smallest person ever, that anything you have ever done is nothing. I'm telling you, watch Free Solo. It's amazing. Just get out of the van, roll out. Today's the day.
And start climbing.
Guys, he's climbing. What do you mean he's climbing? It's 6:30.
He's
already past point one.
Yeah, he's going.
He's up and going. He is moving. Who
617.
Are the people sleeping in a rabbit suit?
What the hell is that?
Yeah. Is there a party up there that you didn't know about?
There are people that are climbing.
But why is he in a rabbit suit? Like, is it a freak show
I think it was just a joke. That he was wearing.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And they were sleeping up there?
Because it takes most people days to go from the bottom to the top, and they stop along the way, and they sleep on a ledge, tethered in.
That's unbelievable.
This guy did it in under 4 hours.
That's unbelievable.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.